Ken here for Rambling Rhino Season 2, Episode 3. For this podcast, we're delving into the aftermath of Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov's recent lightweight title bout, most recently stoked by McGregor's round-for-round analysis on Instagram. Makes for interesting reading. We're going to look at some upcoming competitions, see what's stirring around Team Rhino Kilkenny, and touch on stories in the Irish press of late condemning the sport of mixed martial arts. There's food, there's training, there's myself, Mick and Andy, and if you like what you hear, you'll find more at ramblingrhinos.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or, you know, wherever you get your podcasts from.
Make some noise if you're ready!
10 seconds to go.
Oh, that right hook could have been really coming here at the end. This could be all over with the last 10 seconds. The right hook was the danger shot.
The Paulo kid goes 1-1 in Bama.
Oh, the body shot and the left hand. That was quick from that overhead. But the left hand and right hit the wing.
I should really learn to press record before.
Oh, thank God you did.
Press record.
Oh my God, that would be so weird listening back to that shit.
Before we go live. I do miss some quality content. Rambling Rhinos Season 2, Episode 3. This is great.
Yep.
We made a plan and we're sticking to the plan.
We're sticking to the... Yeah, this is what, our third in a row?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maintaining that goal.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what the goal is. But
to stay consistent.
Yes.
Stay consistent. Well, it is the third round of the second season of the podcast. It's Ken McGuire with you. Andy Murphy is on the couch enjoying a very, very healthy looking lunch. You might tell us about that in a minute. Mick Brennan is here on his very, very healthy looking new phone.
Yes. Oh, nice. Yes.
Long overdue.
It's a game changer right now. My head is in the phone for the last week.
Welcome to the world of the Huawei mobile phone.
I know.
With its funky ass cameras and its magic pictures and its super high definition screens and
I'm not going to lie to you, it's changed my world.
Changed your world. God bless technology.
I'm telling you, man. I'm still learning all this shit.
Yep, that's it. Welcome to the 21st century. It's not all positive.
No.
Why is it not all positive, Andy?
It's energy vampire here in the corner. Sucking the life out of everybody today. The people I hate, I have become.
You look like you're having such an energetic and positive... I don't even know what way to... I can see berries.
Yeah, so what I've got in front of me right now, Ken...
You can see a hedgehog in there as well.
Overnight oats, some flaxseed, chia seed, blueberries, I've got some nut butter, and I got some soy milk, and yeah, just overall just awesome nutrition after doing some pads with Mick there, just to put me in a good state of mind before coming on the podcast, as you can see.
Dang, I like it.
I'm a lot happier than I was even about half an hour ago now.
It's amazing. Yeah. One spoon of overnight oats can change your world.
That is exactly it. It's good for the good.
Is this a happy pair thing? Is this something we can expect from the new Andy Murphy?
No, he's not eating it with his top off. it's definitely not happy pair.
No, this is the happy MMA fighter.
I like it. Okay.
Like that rebrand there. Has a ring to it, doesn't it?
Has a ring to it. Yeah. Have you considered, given that me with my food hat on. Have you given any thought to publishing some kind of recipe related, nutrition related content? Because your Instagram stories have become very food driven and breaking down recipes, which is quite cool.
Yeah, I know. I hate going over the stuff on the podcast, but as many know, I've had a pretty tough year and a half and a lot of troubles with things like brain fog and just basically that's been my big issue. So just trying to more so heal the body through eating clean, good food. So I know I put up a lot of recipes and all that, but I don't go down the line of going all vegan or plant-based and all that sort of crack. But certainly just look, I've always kind of liked to look after my nutrition, but just the last probably 6 months especially, I've really tried to tune into to what I'm putting into the body, and even with cooking and stuff, it's amazing. Like I do a lot more cooking now, so I see exactly what's going into my meals. I've never been one for counting calories or any crack like that, but what I do find now is that I'm not putting any junk in the body. And another big thing I find is it's kind of mad, but like, even if I'm washing the dishes at home, the food's not stuck to the plate, you know what I mean? So I'm, as in, like, say if you had a cheeky Chinese meal on a Saturday night,
yeah,
like
and it's
like stuck
plate.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything like
noodles,
yeah. Like everything that I'm kind of eating now, it just seems so much cleaner. Even if, just to use the analogy of a plate, like it's just clean. It's not stuck to my gut or anything like that. So I feel I'm eating probably more carbohydrates than I've ever probably ate in my life, and my weight is still actually in around say 70 kilos. I don't worry about what's going in. Like I said, overloading on them.
But, yeah, yeah.
Most of the stuff that I put in is pretty clean. I'm not eating lots of chocolate, and a lot of the stuff that I eat is like oats and chickpeas and greens and curries and kormas, and like every day is kind of different. I like variety. Mm. I guess that's why, even with this sport that we do, MMA, I've always said it's about kind of variety is a spice of life. It's what's going to kind of keep you getting up every day and getting after your goals and that. Like, if you're doing the same thing every day, it becomes a bit monotonous and a bit boring. Like, so the same with the food. And I guess for me, doing what I do in terms of health and fitness and my job, and then even this, there is a bit of a platform to show others kind of what you're having. And I get a lot of messages from people who maybe had similar troubles to myself the last maybe year and a half, and say you go to certain doctors and they don't really have a clue about the issue. So a lot of the doctors kind of just pull you off and tell you that you go mad, or they think you're depressed and they want to put you on fucking tablets or this.
They want to give you a tablet rather than a good... good exactly. nutrition plan.
Yeah. And then charge you for it.
So,
as well.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it.
And they fucking charge it.
So, really, a lot of the stuff, and the way I look at it is you get kind of one crack at this thing called life. So, you want to make the best of it. I'm not prepared to just go down and say, ah, fuck it. Like, I've had a bit of a pro career. I've done my MMA stuff, and I'm just going to be, you know, flat on the couch, eating shit food, feeling shit, feeling lethargic. It's kind of more like, get up, get after it. Keep trying to see what can enable the body to be back at optimal performance. Like, nice. You know, so
how are you on the food front, Mick? I mean, do you pay a lot of attention to what you're cooking? Do you get to cook a lot? Not to completely derail the plan we have for conversation, but you know, I like food.
Well, okay, I'm gonna be straight with you. I don't cook a whole lot.
Okay,
I'm not good at it, and I don't have the headspace to do it. But I do it when I obviously need to do it. But I am pretty healthy 5 days a week.
Mm.
And then the weekend I just eat whatever I want. But I still feel like I eat whatever I want during the week. It's just no shit.
Yeah.
As best as I can. But the weekend is all bets are off. I have to enjoy myself.
If you were going for a meal to enjoy yourself, what would it be?
I mean, if I had the choice, I'd love sushi. I would pick sushi, yeah. But in a weekend in Kilkenny, I like going to an Italian restaurant or
I'm pretty sure there's some kind of sushi related workshop coming up at Savor Kilkenny.
There is, you know.
I'm all over.
But that's still pretty clean though, Mick.
Say 2 weeks ago it was my birthday. We went to Rinuccini's. I just had the meats kind of starter.
Yep.
Had my pasta for main, and then I had a dessert. So that's the way I treat myself. But obviously I had a few drinks and all that as well. Had some treats on the Sunday, and yeah, that was my weekend.
That's great. Get the scrum diddlies in.
I had that last weekend.
Sorry.
But that aside, I'm looking forward to talking about the, because it's like 2 weeks past now, isn't it, Conor and Khabib?
Yeah. We wrapped up the last podcast and we did a very quick round table. And I think the consensus was generally, it's going to be great to watch it. We kind of know what the outcome is going to be. You can never really know, given the sport.
Yeah, given Conor's has high percentage his left hand is, you could never rule him out. You know?
Yeah.
But
and in the time since, and as recently as yesterday, today's Tuesday, so this would have been today's Wednesday, so it would have been yesterday, Tuesday. And we are on the, what date are we on? 24th of October.
Yeah, 24th of October. Yeah.
So 23rd of October, Conor McGregor puts up this lengthy post to Instagram breaking down the fight round for round. I'm just going to skim through some of this.
Yeah, I just heard someone say what basically what he said. I didn't read it.
Okay. So for round one, he says, from a sports standpoint, round one was his, as in Khabib's. Top position against the fence, zero position advancement or damage inflicted, but he held the top position. From a fight standpoint, the first round is McGregor's. Shots landed, willingness to engage, the straight left early, the knee to the head on the low shot, elbows in any and all tie-up scenarios, Khabib just holding his legs against the fence for almost the entire round, which is kind of how we anticipated things might go.
Yep.
We go into round two. He says Khabib's running away around the cage before being blessed with a right hand that changed the course of the round and the fight. It was a nice shot. It was a really nice shot.
Yeah.
He says, after the shot, I bounced back up to engaged instantly, but again, he dipped under to disengaged. That is the sport, and it was a smart move. It led to a dominant round, so no issue. Well played. That makes it two rounds, give or take, on the sports side to him. He says, if I stayed switched on, gave his stand-up even a little bit more respect, that right hand never gets close, and we're talking completely different now. He says, I gave his upright fighting no respect in the preparation for the fight. No specific stand-up spars, just attacking grapplers, wrestlers only. Says that won't happen again. I also gave my attacking grappling no respect. Too defensive-minded. So the lessons learned, listen to nobody but yourself on your skill set. You are the master of your own universe. I am the master of this. I need to take my own advice. Round three, after the worst round of my fighting career, I come back and win this round. Again, walking forward, walking him down, willing to engage. But by round four, the recovery not where it could have been. That was his fault, McGregor's fault. Although winning the early exchanges in four, says he dips under again, I end up in a bad position with over three on the clock. Work to regain position, end upright with his back to the fence. Stable, but he abandoned the overhook, exposed the back, gets beaten fair and square. Says, what can I say? It was a great fight. My pleasure. I'll be back with my confidence high. If it's not the rematch right away, no problem. I'll face the next in line.
Yeah. I read that yesterday. And did you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast with John Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was really good. Lockhart. The big thing I took from that, and I kind of, I've said it about my own fighting career, not to say I'm like Conor and that in any way, but John kind of said on the podcast that they kind of, the preparation was more not to lose rather than to win.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was massive psychologically from an athlete of maybe Conor's standard, let's just say. I know he's out for 2 years, but it did look like he didn't initiate anything. He didn't strike fear into Khabib. He didn't kind of hunt him down as such. Even in that round three where he said he came back at him, there was no mad conviction in his shots where he was really intimidating Khabib. I don't think Khabib was blessed with that shot. I'll tell you exactly how it was. I just feel that Conor's, I think if you look at it, Conor's looking down at Khabib's feet as if to be like looking to see when that takedown is going to come.
Yeah.
So he's anticipating a shot. And then obviously you're not giving a guy the striking credentials that he's talked about. And then, like I said, you switch off, you're looking for a takedown. Then all of a sudden you get that overhand right come at you. It's like, whoa, I thought he did super to recover from that. Cause I think a lot of guys will get knocked out by just that about, shot.
There was a knee coming behind. Hair's breadth away from killing him.
Like it just looked. And then obviously with what Conor said in, Was it round two, round three about saying it's just business? Like you kind of are waving the white flag at that point, saying, you know, like he wasn't switched. It didn't seem to me like he switched on as a fighter or such. It was more, like I said, a businessman. He knew he had made his money as such, but I just thought it was fascinating to hear John with saying that, you know, the preparation was more about like the rest of defense rather than, as I said, even from my own, to bring it to myself. I remember when I fought Richie Smullen, our camp a lot of the time was actually defending the takedown, avoiding getting heel hooked, not losing. I'm not ashamed to say it. And then what happens? Then you get taken down, you get heel hooked, you lose.
What did you do?
And then,
don't think of a bottle of water.
Exactly.
What are you going to do?
Exactly. You know, cue then Richard Channon comes in and, you know, they start focusing on my ability as a fighter, like for next fight. It's like, okay, I've got good cardio, I'm going to put pressure, I'm going to take the center. I'm going to let the shots go, I'm going to pick my targets. And again, I'm focused on what I can do. And I think Conor focused that fight more so on what Khabib could do rather than what he could do. It was just fascinating that I thought that.
That's what I took from what John was saying in the podcast as well. The regret he had was when it came to training camp, if he wish he didn't focus on defensively.
It wasn't that to do. Sorry, you're right. It's more focused defensively. But the same kind of thing. If you focus more defensively, that is more like, you know, parking the bus in a soccer match. So exactly. Like, I don't want to lose. Jose Mourinho tactics nearly in the way.
Exactly.
Rather than being like Pep and say, right, just go play. Go have fun. Do your thing.
And the way Connor, because I've just heard that for the first time properly. The way Connor has broken that down is actually very well broken down.
Mm.
But he's breaking it down into two separate things. He's breaking it down into a striking match and he's breaking it down into a grappling match, what he's doing. So like it's easy come with different round winners doing it that way, but it's martial arts, so like you know who was more dominant in their discipline, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
it's MMA. It's like going into a boxing spar with someone and they absolutely murder you because you're a boxer.
Yeah.
And you're saying to them, I could kill you, like, because I could take you down and the fights don't do anything.
Yeah,
we're involved in MMA. Do you know what I mean? And Connor's in it long enough to know that as well. So we can't really buy the whole, like, you know, if this was a fight, like, let's just say, then I'm winning that because I landed damage and all that. But like 4 minutes on your back against the cage, I thought it was tactically very good from Khabib. He basically did. Khabib, I thought, did what Mayweather did to Connor in many ways. He just literally tired him out a little bit that first round. I know Connor didn't exert much energy, but still, that's a one round given away straight away. It's massive for Khabib's mindset. We talked about that. If Khabib can get the takedown early, it puts doubt in Connor's head a little bit maybe, and then it gives Khabib confidence. And then you saw what happened in round two. Khabib just came out and he was just like a fucking demon.
Was that round two, the end of round two, where like shots maybe for a straight minute, I'd say, he was on top of Connor and just wailing. One after the other. Didn't look like he was getting tired at all. And in fairness to Connor, he was defending well. Like people think he was taking punches there, but he wasn't observing a whole lot of punishment.
Yeah.
I think a lesser caliber match would have been stopped at that point.
I also agree with that.
That's a good point.
But he wasn't getting, he wasn't connecting sweetly with Connor. But Connor, if it was anyone else, you're right. I think it would have been stopped.
Yeah.
But he didn't absorb too much punishment from that. Yeah. Just a bit of pressure with Khabib on top. Relentless for that whole minute. Like a minute or two.
There was anger. What about jumping the cage afterwards? There was anger. You could see that. The pure like hatred and anger and just built up frustration.
Yeah.
And just winging them shots. And I'll be honest, I do think I called round four. If we could fast track to the last podcast, I think I said round four.
I think Miles did as well.
I called round four. I did say round four TKO though, Khabib. So
I can't remember why.
I'm almost certain.
What did I say, Ken?
I said round four. I'm almost certain. But I was surprised.
I said maybe the distance. Did I?
Jeez, I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and listen. This is the point where we pause, have a flashback, insert that audio, and then come back and go, that's what you said.
I was kind of surprised that Khabib took the neck, if I'm honest. I when I was watching live, because I was like, Khabib hasn't won at this stage. I didn't see any way back for Conor at that stage, but I thought now Khabib was just going to punish him. But I do think, I don't know.
If the neck is there, you've
I know. But I think, looking at it, like, what about the, like, you know, the crank was definitely on, and anyone who's been in a neck crank is fucking horrible. So you can't really fight the whole idea of being under the chin. There was definitely a crank there, and that's uncomfortable. But I think leading up to that point, the neck was very high. It was kind of like, you know, you can take it here. I think he was kind of looking for an out, nearly, in a way. Because again, I just think, you know, a guy that's making $100 million for the fight, he's, you know, a businessman at this stage. I think maybe young, hungry Connor hunting a title, like, would be really fighting that a lot and not giving anything up. But the fact that, like, you've made so much money, you're a two-weight world champion, fought Floyd Mayweather, you got to question, like, what are the goals now? Like, what does he come back for now? Like, is it just fueled now by an ego and maybe that narcissistic kind of thing? Because I think we all have it as fighters and athletes. It's like, knowing when is the time to come back to bow out? And Connor did say that like a year or two ago. He said, Connor, thanks for the cheese. You know, he won his world title.
Get in, make money, get out.
Yeah. You know, he had done that. And now it's like, I'm looking at the lightweight division, and what about getting a rematch? He's not going to get an immediate rematch. But then if he fights anyone, like, say, you might say, I don't know, say Gaethje, like, say, if he even fought, say, Poirier again, he fought, who else comes to, Andy Pettis would be an interesting fight. If he loses that fight, what's the way back then for a lightweight title shot? Like, his next fight is huge.
Yeah.
He has to win his next fight to get a title shot. If he loses that, then he's on a 2-fight losing streak. And where's the hunger then? Like, the super fights be kind of nearly gone in a way too, because...
Yeah.
So it's a real, as a businessman, it's going to be very interesting to see what he does, where he wants to go.
I just think no matter what happens from here on in, I just think Conor, like, I don't know Conor personally or anything, but I just think he seems like a guy, and Mike's talked about this before, maybe some narcissistic traits or whatever, yeah. But I just feel that no matter what happens, he's always going to want something more, or he's always, yeah. He's never going to be 100% happy with all the money he has.
Yeah.
And the legacy, whether you think it's a legacy or not, it's a legacy he's after building. Is, yeah. You know, if you stop now, it's there forever. You know, I just think he's one of these guys that is always going to want more.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's sad, yeah. I think
it's tough to watch, in a way, because he's so fucking good. Like, you know, in terms of, like, when he was a featherweight champ, phenomenal. To win, to beat Eddie Alvarez the way that he did, yeah, was phenomenal. Yeah. And I was on the podcast with Joe Rogan as well. John kind of said, you know, well done, congrats, yeah. you're done now. Like, you know, like, sail off into the sunset, guy. Yeah. That would have been the time to go. And then obviously they got the Mayweather boxing bout. So yeah. You could understand taking that. Yeah. You get your money. That's not just
then
for
you could have went.
Exactly. You still could have went then. So, you know, you could have still said, you know what, I fought the best boxer in the world. I went 10 rounds. Like, that's a phenomenal achievement. 2-weight world champ MMA. And now what everyone's kind of remembering, it's kind of like you don't want to become the Jose Aldo, where you've been phenomenal for so long, and then all of a sudden you're just remembered for a 10-second knockout by an Irish guy.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. Is it becoming like the whole karma thing of going full circle, and you lose to a guy who's just have to jump in a cage and going after a team, and what's next? I'm really intrigued. I'm intrigued.
And about that as well, about the fiasco afterwards or whatever. Okay. So, yes, Conor should not have got a load of his gang and flew to, was it New York at the time?
And
attacked them in the bus and with the trolley and everything. Big no-no, okay?
Yeah.
Must not do, okay? Khabib shouldn't have jumped the cage. His boys shouldn't have jumped into the cage and had that scuffle or whatever as well. But most importantly, and we have to remember this, is that Dana White and UFC, you know, they had the control of nipping this in the bud early.
Yep.
Okay. They did not do that. They knew all this. They used the bus thing as a promo. To sell the fight. You know.
Easiest way to not spend money on advertising.
Totally. Exactly. You know, and they are to blame overall. Before anyone else, they are to blame. You're surprised that Khabib got emotional and jumped the cage and maybe one or two of his boys? I'm not. He's that, you should know he's that kind of personality. Yeah. You know? Heat the moment. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor, he had time to think about not getting on that flight, going into the arena and attacking the bus. He had time to bow out. He didn't. Okay. So, but anyway, those two actions aside, Dana White and the UFC should have called a hold on to show. Even all those, the religious comments and all that. Like, you're
it's like, how much is too much?
Yeah, exactly. There's no limitation there. And then I see the media conference afterwards, the post fight.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then it comes out and he's like, I don't even care what the numbers are. I don't know. I just feel sick right now. I just can't believe what happened. Yeah. We had the most security ever and all this. I'm like, fuck you, Dana.
Yeah.
You had control. You had the choice of having pure control over this whole situation. You decided not to because you wanted money. Yeah. You wanted the people buying tickets.
He's a real hypocrite.
Yeah,
he's a
pure hypocrite. Is.
He said that whole bus incident at the time was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. You know, remember Conor's team led him through the back, you know, media team, blah, blah, blah. And then you use it in the promo. It's just like, it's just wrong.
Yeah. But don't come out here answering questions like as if you're pissed off about the situation. You can give two fucks. You got money in the bank and that's all you care about.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the way it is. And that's why I'm not fighting anymore as right now.
Yeah.
My love went for the sport for a simple reason that it's going in a direction that doesn't suit me, my personality. I don't like the way it's going. The respect is going out of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just turned into a circus.
I would agree. To go down the line then as well, I'm going to go a little bit off circle with this.
Okay.
But my worry too, we talk about Dana White. We see Max Holloway is back in now and he's fighting Brian Ortega, which is, you know, on paper, a super fight. But I'm still worried about Max Holloway and what happened with the whole, you know, he's talking about, like, you know, the bad, they're saying there's a bad weight cut or this or that and concussion symptoms and that. I'm wondering how well he is, how right he is, because remember that week, it's only when Bisping kind of called him out on it that they kind of pulled him from the fight. And as a fighter, I know he's probably still hungry to get back in there and he's a featherweight champ and all that. But I do worry about his health and I see that title fight being made pretty quickly there again with Ortega. I think it's on paper it's a great fight, but I wonder about how well is Max Holloway and how much is Dana maybe pushing for that fight because maybe he wants to see Ortega win that fight. Because I personally think that Ortega is a more marketable fighter than Holloway. You know, he's that kind of good-looking guy. He's athletic. He's a cool dude. You know, they can make a lot of money off him. Max Holloway, yeah, he's cool, but I don't think he has that same marketability.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to get him back in quick, and I just wonder. I tell you, I just don't think Dana gives two shits about, say, the health of some of his fighters. You know,
and if it doesn't happen, they strip Holloway and fix somebody else up for a crack at featherweight.
I
think.
And I just think Holloway is just that he is plain and simple a fighter. At some point as well, I think again, even on that fight card with McGregor, I was really impressed with Duke Rufus and how he stopped Pettis from going out round three.
So frustrating for Pettis.
Yeah, so frustrating.
I have to respect it
because I think a lot of fighters do, obviously, they want to go out, they want to fight and that, but there's also the idea of, like, you know, we lose today, we get to fight another day. Mm. You know, like, basically, he's broke his hand. If he did a lot more damage in that, then he could be out for much longer time. You know, he's still young. I think he's 32, so he's still plenty of life left in Pettis yet as well. He can get a couple more fights. Like, it was a great fight. I think if anything, it did his stock huge. Do you know what I mean?
That's a serious.
It was a great fight.
Produced some of the best fight photographs I have seen. That moment where, like, Tony is covered in blood and laughing like a maniac.
Yeah.
And Pettis kind of rolls back and has the tongue out of the mouth like he's some fucking Kiwi warrior type thing. Phenomenal.
It was awesome to watch, but I just thought, you know, from that, we've seen a lot of coaches and they're pushing the fighter back out for a third round when you know that they're done and they can't. Pettis, his right hand was done. He wasn't gonna finish Ferguson. I think the chance he had was gone. He had that kind of at the start of round two when he caught him beautiful.
Yeah.
And fairness, Ferguson, he's got some energy. He can just keep going. Ferguson's gonna come out round three, same pace. And I think it was very smart of Rufus to pull him out. Because I think Rufus in the past has been kind of, you know, a lot of people said he's a tough nut of a trainer and, you know, he pushes people hard in their sparring and the real proper fights in that in sparring. I think I nearly saw another side to Duke Rufus that night. Someone that was like really caring for his fighter, but also a friend then as well. Okay. He goes, I'm going to pull it out, pull you out of the fight. Like, you know, because I don't think Pettis was going to make that call.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to give big props and respect to that now. Like, do you know what I mean?
Nice. I like it. I will be curious to see where the whole scenario plays out. I mean, the win puts Tony Ferguson pretty much next in line. If that happens with, I don't know, there's a couple of scenarios that happens. If that happens and Khabib beats Tony,
yeah,
then what do you do? Or if Ferguson beats Khabib, does Khabib go for the rematch? Does Pettis forgets about factoring in
super fight,
or is he done enough? Does McGregor go, okay, well, I need a crack at Tony Ferguson, or I don't know.
It's tough because Khabib, like, for just an average, not even MMA fan or whatever, he's not going to draw a crowd. Mm. You know, he's not, his style of fighting, like, he's phenomenal. We can respect what he does, but he's not.
You now know what you get.
Yeah, he's not pleasant to watch for your fan that wants to watch a good stand up striking barrel. And even the idea of, you know, a lot of people can respect a good jiu-jitsu grappling match. They're like, man, they're flying around there. Khabib's idea is to literally like get you down, pin you down, prevent you from moving, and just inflict damage that way. A lot of people don't really understand that. Like when you're just kind of your average fan that doesn't do it, they don't understand it. So he's not really marketable for Dana.
Why doesn't he just get up?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, unless you've been in that position, you really just don't know why he just doesn't get up.
On the marketing side, there was an interesting point. There was an article somewhere along the lines that had said, completely paraphrasing, that Khabib is the bad guy that the UFC needs. Is that legit? Do the UFC need Khabib?
I don't know, because I think like McGregor kind of said in that round one, he didn't take any damage really from Khabib. He kind of just kept him down, pinned him down. I think if you're looking for a bad guy in UFC, you look for someone's gonna fucking start you. You know, and has that real, oh my god, he's gonna like when
I feel like Tony Ferguson would take that role very well, but people love him.
Yeah. Well, I guess
it's where he needs to turn heel.
Yeah.
Just come in and throw in a chair or something. Yeah.
That's why you go back to someone like
stun a fucking kid or something.
But you go back to Brock Lesnar. Like there was an absolute killer of a wrestler, and he had power, so he could actually start it with the hands as well. We all know how that played out eventually, but I don't think Khabib can play that role of the bad guy, because I think he's actually not a bad guy in person. Like, he has a lot of values. You can see, yes, what he did was wrong, jumping the whole cage and that, but he was kind of came out and said, look, I want to talk about respect and, you know, the whole idea of like, we're athletes, we're fighters, you know, we don't talk about other people's families, we don't talk about religion, all that. So I don't think he can play the role of the bad guy, you know.
The audience either sees you as that or they don't.
Like Colby Covington is trying to be a bad guy. You know what I mean? There's a dude.
He's just being like the Kurt Angle of stuff. It's just like
way of looking at
this fucking weird way of promoting yourself. It's like, we know what you're trying to do, but really?
Because everyone, people that know him apparently are all saying that she's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know that what way someone is, but I don't think Khabib can play that role of the bad guy. I don't know. Like I said, for me, I think you need someone that's got like that KO power or something, a real dick and a real douche, that, you know, and has the strike, like that whole fear factor. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I think Dana was very upset. It was nearly like when he was watching Ngannou v Stipe. No, I backed the wrong horse.
Schooled.
Yeah.
Actually, Stipe's not getting much of a look in. Like,
Derek Lewis there getting that title.
Derek
shot.
Lewis gets that nod. Looks like John Jones and Gustafsson is on. As a result, Daniel Cormier not likely to fight at light heavyweight again, potentially. Yeah. I'm guessing the assumption is that Cormier will beat Lewis.
Yeah, Jones beats Gustafsson.
They could go champion versus champion, but does Cormier want to go out on his last fight with a possible legitimate
loss? That's just
been
a roller coaster, hasn't it?
To that. And then, the whole kind of Lesnar thing that was supposed to factor in is like, I don't think that's going to happen either.
Poor Cormier. He's such a good athlete, such a good dude in many ways. He's overcome a lot of adversity. He seems to be very clean. And then you have that lingering John Jones over. He's just a phenomenal fighter. He cannot deny how good he is technically, but there's just so much wrong with that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it just nearly pulls your heartstrings a bit. Because for me personally, I'd love to see Cormier beat Jones, but fighting wise, I don't see how he does. I don't see a weakness at the moment in John Jones. As a fighter, I don't know. He has a chin. He's got good wrestling. He's taking Cormier down. I know Cormier in that last fight he kept moving forward, marching forward. He put up a good fight, but he got caught with that beautiful head kick. It's just like, man, I just think styles make fights, and I just think Jones has DC's number. I think DC probably knows that, and he's kind of always going on, you cheated, which he did, but fight-wise, I just think technically Jones is just a bit better.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch. I don't know.
I'm just like, I'm sitting here, I'm watching all of the possibilities in my head going, I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they could absolutely, from a yeah. marketing point of view, they could make a fortune
yeah.
trying to sell whatever about the McGregor Khabib stuff or even John Jones' comeback. I think seeing, like, putting a definitive nail in the coffin of things, I don't know. And then you'd love to kind of, after everything Cormier has been through.
I'd love to see him come in and just wing an overhand right, a spark, and just yeah. see what Cormier does. If fucking Khabib jumped yeah. the cage, imagine what DC would do.
It's like, I told God, you.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing your list here, Ken. Oh, yes. I'm just seeing
under the parsnips and the turnip and desiccated coconut.
Yeah, the that thing with Joe Brawley there was the last week.
Yeah,
2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I think I have a feeling Andy Murphy has something to say on the matter.
Coming up in today's segment, man, it's not all positive.
How long do we have here?
But look, my take on it is this: a quick story after the McGregor fight. Anyway, right, a friend of the family was up at my house in Carlow, and it was with my mum and dad, and they asked my dad, this person asked my dad, does your son still do that sport that Conor's involved in, mixed martial arts? And
yep.
my dad's like, yeah, he does. Yeah, he's meant to be fighting before Christmas again. And the one turns to my dad and just in one line straight away just goes, I thought he was better than that.
Yeah.
I thought he was better than that. I just thought, you know what? I was like, that's still the mindset of a lot of people.
Because you know, not to totally cut across you here, yeah. though I'm kind of cutting across you. You know, Brawley came out with another column week.
Really? I haven't read it.
It was a follow up to last week's column. And the title of this week's column, Joe Brawley writes, MMA is an inhumane business designed to bring out the worst of us. It is a corruption of martial arts, extreme violence, and a moronic culture are its twin pillars. It's all about disrespect, vile abuse, reveling in extreme violence, condoning criminality, and yeah. hero-worshipping money.
Yeah.
Critics are attacked and frozen out, and only cheerleaders are welcome.
Well, you know what, Joe? I think you should have fucking attended a match there recently in Kerry. You see fucking lads on the side jumping in and fucking banished doors and all this bullshit. I work in a fantastic facility that you know, hosts a lot of GA events and that. And thankfully, there's not much negative stuff has gone on. But you see it up and down the fucking country where there's lads on the sideline jumping in on fights and things like that. And the big man on the pitch. You know, you see lads all the time, you know, corner forward, corner back, or midfield, and they're getting on. The same way Conor and Khabib did. Conor got inside Khabib's head saying stuff about his dad yeah. and all that. The amount of times I played GA when I was younger and lads are coming on talking, saying stuff about your ma, saying yeah. stuff about this, your girlfriend. You know, Joe, yeah. to be honest. Yeah. I just think it's really disrespectful. I think people fear what they don't understand, and yeah. Joe clearly does not understand what we do. If he was to come in and spend a week, take up maybe John Kavanagh's offer, go and see what goes on in SBG. Go see what goes on here at T. Michael Kenny. Go see what goes on up and down the country. Kids are being saved from numerous problems. Like, you see a lot of autistic kids getting involved in MMA because it's a way to channel their anger and aggression in a safe, controlled environment.
Yeah.
There's just massive success stories. But like, I think there's, at the end of the day, Joe Brawley, there's dickheads and assholes in every sport and every walk of life. Yeah. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and I don't think, you know, you should ban a sport like MMA or be coming in and saying stuff like a sport like MMA because of a couple of unsavory incidents that happened. Like I said,
there's been a few clips this week. There's been brawls at boxing shows recently as well.
Totally. The brawls at the boxing show, I think came up on my timeline from a memory from 2 years ago, and there was a hurler in a mounted position on a player in Waterford, I think it was, 2 years ago. I remember jokingly kind of posting up saying about that guy should learn on bottom, should go to the makeup and learn how to escape mount, like. And then I said, the guy on top should learn how to control mount a bit better too. But like, you see unsavory incidents in everything. Do you know what I mean? And what Joe doesn't seem to understand is that, like, prize fighting is exactly that. It's prize fighting. You got to draw people in, whether people want to see you win or they want to see you lose. You have to draw people in, and that's part of our sport. GAA, fantastic sport, but how often do you hear lads on panels saying about like how great that hit was, that that big shoulder or that big fucking, you know, it's a physical man's game and all bullshit. It is a man's game. It is a physical game, but like stop with this whole heroic stuff of lads like, you know, they hitting off the ball and stuff like that, and like then the whole big man fucking, I see what I did to number six. My problem when I played GA was I was very quick. I was a very small, little skinny dude. I'd just be running all day. Like, I would run all day because my sport back then was athletics. And I like to think I was pretty good for a blow-in. But I know when they've had a good first half because what had always happened at the start of the second half, I'd be fucking hit very, very hard at the very first fucking ball that's thrown my direction or kick my direction. And you know well what's been said at halftime. Hit Andy Murphy. He's fucking 8.5, 9 stone. That'll stop him in his tracks. And you'd hear on the sideline. Like, so for me, I can't stand what Joe Bradley's saying. And for me, my son Nathan, he's 3 tomorrow. I love him to bits. And I can't wait to get him involved in a sport like MMA and BJJ. I probably wouldn't like to see him fight in MMA because it's out of my control and getting hit in the face and all that sort of stuff. But BJJ, I'd love him to get involved in because it's great for your mindset. It's great for that whole idea of like, intimidation from bullies or anything like that. You know how to handle yourself. You don't even need to hit the bully or anything like that. You can control somebody. The whole idea of respect and the idea, my big one then, Mick, is just if my son is playing football or hurling, I'm a parent on the sideline, right? I know that Nathan then can look after himself. I don't need to worry about a guy trying to intimidate him. He's there to play football. He's there to play soccer. He's there to play rugby, whatever sport it is. If the other guy wants to fight with him, he knows how to fight. He'll be able to look after himself. And that's something I wish I had back in the day when I was playing things like GA or soccer, was like, you know, if you're coming at me, you're trying to hit me, you're trying to intimidate me, let's go. I can fight. Yeah. Can you fight? I'm here to play football. You know, yeah. Do you know that kind of way? I just see a lot of the guys picking on weaker, softer type dudes and then being bigged up to be a hero and a hard man in that. I've been involved in white collar events with GA teams now. And a lot of these hard men can't even throw as much as a jab.
Yeah.
But lads on other teams are afraid of them.
Yeah,
I'm just like, if only you knew that this guy is not exactly what he portrays himself to be.
Yeah, like so. It's just mad to me that he's the neck to write such a piece on a sport that he knows so little about. He just knows what he sees on the TV.
Yep.
And Joe Brawley's someone that rubs everyone up the wrong way. Even anyway, GA, even in the GA.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's true.
Like when that's why I only heard what people were saying around me. Yeah. I haven't even read it. You know why? Because I don't give a fuck.
That's a good point.
He says that he's been sounding out influential TDs and senators in the last week who are universally appalled by what has suddenly become normal and intends to set up a working group to look into banning of this barbarism. The McGregorization of society needs to be stopped before it's too late.
I will say that, you know, it wasn't the best thing that could have happened as regards Irish MMA. Like, as John Kavanagh said in the podcast, we're trying to make it okay. We're trying to make it accepted in Ireland.
Yeah.
And this whole fucking thing is after bringing us right back again, you know? So, as he said, as president and everything, he has to go back to a board of people and try to convince them, look, it's not as bad as it looks and all this, but you know, you're already up against a bunch of people who already think the worst of this sport. So, you know, it's
frustrating, isn't it?
It's frustrating.
You know,
especially when you have the likes of Joe Brody talking shite. Yeah, like. But talking like, shite. That's all.
I think a really good point there that you said, Mick, is in fairness, a lot of people who play GA and people within the GA are frustrated by him. He's a pundit at the end of the day. He's done nothing. He just basically sat on a TV screen talking about an amateur sport at the end of the day. I'd say he's a little bit pissed off that, you know, what we do is a professional sport. It makes millions all around the world. It was probably the biggest pay-per-view event they've ever seen last week. And you know what? It wasn't a GA All-Ireland final. But he's just a little bit envious. He's a little bit like, he probably feels threatened that the sport is going where it's going. I agree with him in terms of, yes, there's a lot of stuff goes on within it that we don't like. I can say that, you can say that. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on in GA that a lot of people don't like either.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, they're two fantastic sports. I think there's a place for them in our country. There's certainly a place for it in our country. Like I said, even worldwide, they're trying to grow GA worldwide. I don't understand it. I just think he should really delve in, see what goes on in a BJJ class, see the way that, like, at the end of every class, even last night up at Team Rhino Wex, at the end of every class, we've grappled, we've rolled, we've done pad work, whatever we've done, and then we line up along the thing, we shake each other's hand, thank each other for coming in training, and then we move on. We can't wait for the next session.
Mr. Brawley won't, because he fears what he doesn't understand.
Exactly.
He fears it. He won't do it.
But like I said, he's just going to, because it's a hot topic at the moment, he knows people are going to buy a newspaper, people are going to tune into it. And as we just discussed about a certain Conor McGregor, whether you love him or you hate him, you're going to tune in. And I think that's the thing with Joe Brawley is, you love him, you hate him, his name pops up somewhere, it's like, oh, this dickhead. Well, see what he's saying.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, look, he's just stoking the fire. You know, he's certainly rubbed a few people up, myself included, where you just say, ah, it's not again. But my big problem is, like I said, because I work in a good facility and that, like, a lot of people just don't see what we do as a sport because of some of them actions. And you have someone like Joe Brawley who's involved in the GA, and people who are big up in the GA kind of maybe respect him or that then as well and respect his views. And then they look down on our sport, and Andy Murphy there, he does MMA, he's probably like, that's a shit sport.
Yeah,
that's not really a sport.
Better than that.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So, it is frustrating, you know, especially when we put in such hard work, such good work, look after nutrition, look after a mindset. Mm-hmm. We instill good values, certainly within our gym here, Team Rock Kilkenny, Team Rock Wexford, Team Rock Dublin, the lads in SBG as well, the same thing. It's all built on respect. I've had issues like where, you know, certain fighters I've fought or we're going to fight, we've had social media battles, but I've then met them at events. It's just selling a fight. They're actually nice people, like. So I mean, at the end of a fight, you're shaking hands, you're moving on, like, and then you're meeting them at events and they're full of chat, full of cracky. We understand what the gig is, but the problem is
it's an unspoken thing.
Yeah,
but
people like Joe Brawley just don't really get it. No. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
So,
but my blood is boiling right now, and Ken is smiling at me. He's like, "Have you got any more, Andy? Come on, hit me some more." I'm not going to go any more controversial because I want to still have a job tomorrow in my.
I can feel the heat coming from this side of the couch.
Well, see, we're still on MMA. We might as well talk about, like, is there any activity or anything going on about Bama or anything like that?
I Joe, you know, I genuinely don't know what is going on. I think a lot of lads who are still technically signed some way with Bama don't really understand what's going on.
I think Bellator aren't, nothing from them yet.
Nothing
either.
From them either.
No. There are delays, I understand, in getting TV deals in place for the European bouts.
They're gonna have to
orchestrate the TV deals.
Yeah.
The guy who did the TV deals for Bama with ITV4 and a few others has now moved to Bellator.
Bellator.
But I don't think it's going to be in place in time for
this year.
Christmas. There had been talk that the Bama date would be the 9th of December, which is a Sunday, and the Bellator date would be Friday the 7th. And then there was 4 possible dates for Bama that were announced over the summer for 2019 in February and April and the summer and maybe, I don't know, September, October, November time, which obviously haven't had any kind of announcements around yet.
It's a bit of a, you know, for guys that have signed the contracts for Bellator or Bama, like you're waiting for Bama. So, like it's very hard because they obviously want to stay active, but this is going to be a good few months before
they do.
The fight.
And now we've seen Aaron Jammers, love him or hate him, has been released of his Bama contract.
That's right.
Fabian Edwards, unbeaten middleweight, has
Reese
been
McKee.
Released and has now signed up with Bellator. Reese McKee,
Cage Warriors,
who was going to be, a good Bama lifer, perhaps.
Yeah.
Straight into Cage Warriors.
Cage Warriors,
and it's probably a few
Tim
more.
Tim Barnett as well. Tim Barnett is the Cage Warriors now.
He made his debut on the Liverpool card.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Tim Barnett.
At 97, 96 or 97. Yeah.
He drew with James Sheehan.
Yeah,
James Sheehan
lost
to the guy that Tim drew with.
That's right.
I think Tim got offered James as well. That fight, but didn't take the fight with James. Because I think James 0-1 at the moment. Oh, sorry, 1-1. Sorry, 1-1.
Yeah.
So say James is a fucking killer. Do you know what I mean? And I think that would have been I think possibly a bad fight, like, in terms of, like, a lot to lose for Tim. and everything to win for James.
Yeah. Yeah.
James wins that fight, which, you know, is a great fight, and certainly I think James offers a hell of a lot there, win that fight, and then you're bumped up the rankings. Tim loses to a guy 1-1, you drop back down a little bit. So I understand from both. I understand James wanting that. I understand Tim maybe not taking that. And that's the fight game, the pro game, I guess, really, at this stage.
I'm thinking it's going to be Andy Murphy and Cage Warriors in February, March time.
Well, that's that Cage Warriors Academy, isn't it, that thing as well?
No. Cage Warriors. No, I hear, yeah.
We're not Joe Warren.
I'm going to start that rumor now.
You can start it, all right. Show me the money. Joe, what is as I've been flat out now. Obviously, my daughter is now she's 6 weeks old.
She's now in the world. Congratulations again.
Yeah, thanks very much. So all is going well on that front. But I've been practically kind of training through Monday to Friday, and then kind of weekends have been kind of off. I've not gone to HQ for the last 6 weeks, just to kind of be at home to help out with that, like I said. But I think this Saturday now we'll be making a trip back up, and I'll probably have a chat with Andy and see what's happening going forward. With fights and that. I don't know what we now we're end of October. I'm always tipping away anyway. I'm in shape, but we'll see if a fight happens. Whether a fight happens before Christmas, I honestly
would
do
you
not
like
know.
A fight to happen before Christmas?
To be honest, Ken, a breaking news nearly on Rambling Rhino. I was like, I personally was still suffering quite a bit, and I'm still kind of dealing with issues from the last year and a half with the whole brain fog bullshit. I definitely, hindsight is a great thing. I shouldn't have taken the fight in Newcastle, if I'm honest. But I was just so eager to get back that I was like, I just want to get in there. No qualms about how it went, but just with this, it might not be a bad thing that BAM is not happening before Christmas, on a personal level. I'm putting a lot of work in now with Killian in terms of strength and conditioning, and
you need to get more weights on that hex
bar. I know, man, I'm working on it. I'm going to catch you soon, bro. I'm going to catch you soon. We're really focused on like my movement and action reaction type stuff, and getting back up to speed with that, and we'll see what happens in the new year. But really, it's all about, because normally, like, say I see a post there and the BAM 28 kill thing. Like, I was knocking. I was saying to Mick only today, we were doing pads, and I was like constantly knocking on the guy's doors. Him, when am I out? When am I fighting again? When am I fighting again? Because I was fully fit in the zone. Not that I'm not fit. I am fit. I can move well. And like, when you look, if you look at any pad worker like that, it looks good on the outside. But when you're the person driving the car and you're still feeling, it nearly feels like you're fucking drink driving in a way. Yeah. You know. You're driving, but like, there's a fucking danger here that you're not totally all.
If you get
there.
Pulled over, you could be in bother.
Yeah, and I got fucking pulled over in Newcastle. I got put in a triangle. So, it's just those little things, those little reactions. It really needs to be on point. It's not, at the end of the day, we're not fighting amateur anymore. Andy's often talked to us about that in Dublin as well. Like, it's not about just I know we talk about win or learn that, but there's a bit more. With the pro kind of scene, I was like really trying to get a few wins under that belt, move forward. Because obviously, get onto bigger shows and that, you want to have a good record.
Yeah.
So I have to be a bit smart. I know I could fight tomorrow, let's just say, but I need to be 100% Andy Murphy. Like, I don't want to be fucking going in giving anyone an advantage that they shouldn't have an advantage over me. Kind of way. That's okay.
We're expecting yourself and Miles, hopefully. The first few months of the new year.
I was talking with Miles about this as well, and Miles kind of said that he said, look, it'd probably be a good thing to get a camp kind of going together in the new year, so when he's back, it's kind of all systems go again. Yeah. Kind of, certainly with the way we train the morning time, having a good crew here in the morning, all like knowing exactly what we're doing on them days, building towards, you know, whether it be a Bama show, a Cage Warrior show, Bellator, whatever it is, that we're all kind of hunting those, you know, same goals and targets, you know. Whereas I know Miles will only be getting back November, late.
Another month or so to go.
So it's an interesting one. Like it's like playing roulette nearly in a way. You know, when you're on a good little bit of a run, and you're kind of, you know, I'm feeling good. Fucking maybe one more. I get a fight now.
Yeah.
You know, you get the win. Like if I had won an MTK, you'd be nearly knocked. I think I'd be saying, oh, fuck, I can still, you know, I can go, but. After the loss and that, I'm like, I need to tweak a few things. I need to be kind of
Yeah.
Back to that same mindset that I had when I beat Kilfin, and you know, you're fully switched on, fully focused in the zone, ready to go, raring to go, all that kind of crack. And just like I said, just having the good spars, hard spars as well, like something that I've not really done a lot of for the last while, for obvious reasons, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Training smart. But we shall see what happens.
Like, that's your next two goals, and we have Owen Chalmaya, who was picked for the Amateur World Championships
out
there.
To Bahrain.
It's an awesome opportunity.
Another week or two, anyway. He'll be over there around the 11th, I think, or he's weighing in around then, is he? So he's going over there, which is great for him. It's great for the gym.
Yep.
He has a GoFundMe page at the moment as well. Anyone that's listening, help a dude out. We get no funding through MMA in Ireland, so we need to help this young lad out as much as we can, because he deserves to go. He deserves as much help as possible. And so there's still time.
He's up to 600 quid.
He's up to 600 quid.
Needs to make it 2 grand.
He needs to, because it's like to actually even enter, it's just a little shy of 800 quid.
Yeah.
For an amateur. Like,
I think you should send an email, Joe Brawley. GoFundMe, Joe.
Yeah, I will.
You're Sunday independent.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, Joe.
But, why don't you tell us what you really do? That was the voice of Mick Hall.
But Owen is going to be representing us out there, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how he gets on to test himself. He's grappling is after getting to a really good level as well. Yeah. Like, this kid only started a little over a year ago, grappling wise, you know. He's flying it with his wrestling now. So so we're prepping that for that until he goes. So.
Good stuff.
And to keep it on a local level, there's a few jiu-jitsu comps coming up.
Yep.
So our jiu-jitsu team we're out in numbers in Cork, in the Cork Open in November, I think, aren't we?
We're going to have to hire a bus to go down.
Yeah. So like, you know, we're not a huge club, but what we do have is solid numbers every class and every week and every month. And there's a great majority of them competing next month. Mm. So it's great to see so many people competing for the first time. Some of them it's just their second time, and for others it's just another day in the office. So it's great to get that amount of bodies. Like, people don't realize, like, some teams in Ireland, they have 8 people competing at most competitions, 6, 10, 12, you name it. Like, for us to have over 5 people competing at one comp is a big deal. So this is good. Yeah. Including yourself, Ken.
Yep.
Ken is competing for the first time.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. First time.
Yeah,
first time. Go on, Ken.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Growth mindset, man.
That's it.
I'll tell you.
Well, you fucking may as well pull the trigger on it at some stage.
Do you know what? You did right.
Even if you just do it once, I would recommend doing it twice, because it's always your first time. I always say to people, just get the first one out of the way.
Yes.
So Cork Open and then fucking Europeans in Rome.
Why not?
Why not? Right.
Why not? But
do you know what? It is that. We've talked about roller coaster analogy all the time here. I think it's the exact same. It doesn't matter. I remember I get nervous before athletics meets. I get nervous before, say, big soccer game, GA, the exact same jits. At the end of the day, just get in, compete. As soon as it's done, it's like, man, that was awesome. And you just want to go again. Just feed the addiction.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I never wanted to fight, but I said, fuck it, I'll try one fight. Had one fight, and then I was just like, I'll go one more. I wanna see if it's the same.
Was it quite that reserved? It was like, yes. I will go one more. Or were you standing in the cage going, oh, sign me up?
No, it was not like that. But I did want to go again. And then once you go again, I said, oh no, that's enough now. And then Myers would come to me a week later and say, hey, look, I have a fight for you here. I think you should take it. I'm like,
it's worth 200 euro.
Straight away, yeah. Not even then.
A free haircut.
So, and then I was just like, oh, fuck it. Yeah, I will actually. Yeah, fuck it. Because I was always after that buzz, that feeling, you know? But it's the same. It's the same in jiu-jitsu like that. Even if you win one match or two matches, whatever, you you remember how good that feels and you want to try go at it again.
Yeah, and you're bringing your heel hook wizardry to Belfour to Newry at the weekend?
Well, I can't or I'll be disqualified.
Well, you can leave it in the car.
Yeah. No, myself and Ryan are competing in the Northern Ireland Open, Nogi Open, this coming weekend.
Class.
So, yeah, see, there's only me and my in that division, but I'd say they'll put a few of us together if there's
sure, fight yourself. It'd be grand.
Yeah, it'd be grand. I fight myself half the time anyway. So.
Before we wrap things up, also on the local side of things, BJJ for Beginners, new intake starts next week.
Yes, next Monday, October 30th.
Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday. Right. At 7:45. So anyone that's interested, there's been a good bit of notice on social media. But definitely try get contact with us before the 30th if you can, because we want to get you signed up and get payment started before you actually arrive. Because when you arrive, we just want to concentrate on giving you your kimono and belt and getting ready and getting going. So if you can contact us before then, that'd be great.
And you've just started in your workplace an induction into
I have grappling. It tonight actually.
Spoofer.
I've got a kind of like a beginner's type BJJ in WAT arena. So it's great for members in a leisure facility having the option to be able to go into a class like BJJ, whereas maybe, you know, it can be pretty scary for some people going into, say, a martial arts gym or anything like that. So what I find is I'm getting a couple of members have come in that would maybe never walk into an MMA or BJJ facility. Certainly like a lot of like middle-aged people that maybe think, okay, this gig is like for, you know, young people or whatever, but like, as you know, it's yourself. I'm not saying you're old Ken or myself like that, but
my gray hair is like,
but it's great like, at any age to come in and learn BJJ. So it's just a nice way to showcase it. Obviously there's some fantastic BJJ facilities in Waterford already, such as you have Team Rhino, Waterford Gambaro Jiu Jitsu, Waterford Gambaro in Dungarvan. But this, I like to think of it as a way of leading people to the ocean in a way, like get people confident enough to actually maybe go in and turn up to an MMA facility, a BJJ facility, and say, you know, I've done a little bit, I'd like to learn a little bit more. And I like to grow it. I would like to get to a good level, but I'm also realistic and I think it'll take a little bit of time. But for me, it gets me off the gym floor, just doing assessments and programs, and I get to do something I really enjoy doing. So
nice.
You can't really buy that. So like, yeah, I've got that tonight at 7 o'clock in WAT arena, and before that I've got like boxer size at 6 o'clock, so just go and crack some pads, which is just a good de-stress for me. Enjoy that.
So funny, so I'm after going on my phone here and it says jiu-jitsu Polaris 8, Craig Jones versus Keenan Cornelius.
Oh damn,
for Polaris 8. And so funny, Gordon Ryan writes underneath, he says, "Hopefully you both lose somehow." And Gary Tonin comes in, "Agreed, simultaneously flying guard pull KO." Anyway, sorry, that's just
grapplers at the top of their game.
Yes. But I think we've covered everything, Ken,
I think that's about it. Yeah, we said we'd try and be in and out in an hour. Let Andy go to work. Let me go back to work. Let you go back to work.
Team Rhino Wexford then as well every Tuesday night, any one of my Wexford listeners.
Don't mind the Wexford team.
Anyone in around New Ross?
If you live in Wexford, come to Kilkenny.
It's closer. The roads are better.
Team Rhino. And the first class is free.
That's it.
Until next time, guys.
Class.
Yeah.
Right.
Stuff. It's my oats here.
If you enjoyed the podcast, you can catch all of the musings on the freshly decorated ramblingrhinos.com, which has all the previous episodes. You can find us on iTunes and Google Podcasts and, you know, everything else.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah,
pretty much. Until next time.
Fourth episode coming up now soon, lads. Yeah, we may book that date.
Yeah, keep
this rolling.
Yeah, we'll try have a guest on that episode as well.
Hey, we had Mick Hall on today.
Mick Hall, yeah.
I know what we do.
But I think I know what you're going to say.
I know what we do.
What do we do?
I know what we do. We hold on to Andy Ryan.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say
on the 24th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's always fucking giving out about not being asked to do this. And I ask him, I've asked him about 3 times.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, he'd be a good guest.
Yeah.
And we'll get in a special long table and chairs and we'll hold a full audience. I think we'll be yeah. like 50 or 60 people
if,
here.
Yeah. If, like yeah. Late show as well.
Yeah. So Andy, if you're listening, we're going to attack you.
Yeah. And Reds are brought down wagon wheels and stuff. So you better bring some good shit down with you. That's the thing. The guest always brings
there's a high
good.
Standard. The standard has been risen with Razor.
Yeah.
Razor
Ramon.
Right. On that note, we're done.
Good luck.
That's it for the latest podcast. Check back through previous episodes on ramblingrhinos.com. And if you want to add a video element to it, take a peek at the latest move of the month over on the Team Rhino Kilkenny Facebook page. Until next time, good luck.